Yeah, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. The first hour of this show every day of training camp is going to be a thing. I'm getting a feel
for
it.
Reggie's getting indoctrinated big time.
I'm getting a feel for it.
Welcome to training camp. Head on a swivel. All that.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, Cal McNair, the owner of the team, will just drop in on you, and then you have a deep conversation, at least of a certain depth, with Azeez Al-Shaair, and then we're off to the races talking around the NFL. Why not? Let's do that right here. And we begin with, we were mentioning a little bit earlier, a little bit of a false alarm or a little bit of a scare injury-wise for the New York Jets and Aaron Glenn, former Houston Texan, now the head coach out there as – The quarterback, QB1 of that team, Justin Fields, went down very early in practice today, and he was carted off.
Yeah.
Stretchered off is a little different. A little bit much. But he was carted off.
It's more like Vietnam.
The field. Yeah. they put him in a chopper.
They had a plasma
bag.
They
took him to the MASH unit. No, none of that. He was carted off the field. Ultimately, we find out it is a toe injury and not one that is going to be super major. And so they are not going to have to go to the space. Although Aaron Glenn apparently did say that they have an outstanding level of belief in a backup quarterback to Rod Taylor. That's just something you got to say, right?
You have to. Yeah, that's Justin Fields is what they're hitching their wagon to. No doubt about it. And how about Cal McNair with a little pop in? That was pretty cool. Just like, hey, boys, what's up? Training camp is here. All good.
Yeah, I guess he just wanted to stop in and say hello, and we appreciate that. He did make sure to mention something that I guess we have not talked a ton about. It's a different kind of setup here when it comes to the stands and the seats for fans when you get out here to the Houston Methodist Training Center, which you'll be able to see on Saturday with first open practice. And I'm excited for you to see it. There's some real, real fun things happening. The energy is palpable early on in practice, even through walkthroughs. You can see that there's a level of energy.
Did Al-Shaair leave a puddle like Will Anderson?
I don't know. I don't believe that to be the case.
No, he did not.
Well,
he's a veteran.
I imagine that Jakob Johnson left the puddle when he was running up and down, getting some extra running in.
Yeah.
After. I'm excited about, we haven't talked much about that. I know that this is something that we probably could talk about a little bit later, but the idea of the fullback that I feel very confident that they'll have, he looks like he is ready to go.
Big dude, but to your point, fullback and tight end, you know, it's going to be a new definition of what they do with this offense, and we know that coming in.
Yeah. All right. So as we continue around the NFL, Fig, I'm going to need you a little help audio-wise. This is a big, long audio cut here that I want you to hear from Titans camp. Obviously, Will Levis ends up having season-ending surgery. He's put on season-ending injury reserve, and, you know, the quarterback who they're going into the season with, number one overall pick in the draft this year, Cam Ward, is, you know, it's all on him now. I think that there's a full expectation already there was that he's going to be the guy, but now it's all on him. I don't know that there's as much relief behind him if you needed to go to that space. This is Cam Ward's response to, any feelings when it comes to finding out that Will Levis was injured and out for the season.
What was kind of your reaction to the news that Levis had decided to have surgery and kind of subtracted from the quarterback room now?
I really didn't have a reaction. I focused on Cam Ward.
Okay.
Yep, big long response by Cam Ward there. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. How would that make you feel?
I still don't know how I feel about that, because I understand, especially for Cam Ward coming in.
Because there's a little bit of element of, screw that guy.
A little bit. It does feel a little bit like that. In like
I'm here to replace him.
Juxtapose it with C.J. Stroud. Not everybody's going to be C.J. Stroud. He's a unique guy. It's why we love him, or it's part of why we love him at the very least.
Yeah.
And C.J., you're talking about all the different, different handshakes that he has with everybody else. You're talking about the ways in which, you know, he embraces all of his teammates.
Yeah.
And then you got Cam Ward, and again, I'm not saying that he doesn't do any of those things, but very much it seems almost someone would describe it as a diva-like answer. I'm not worried about him, I'm worried about me. And to be fair, there's a lot to be worried about for a rookie coming in. The learning curve is steep as a quarterback, so I understand that he has a lot of that, but it just hit me wrong.
As I'm trying to process it a little more here as we're talking about it, I think I would lean to, come on, man, don't do that, because it was an injury. Like, it's one thing if, like, they just asked you, you know, and because Cam Ward, his entire life, you know, he's been a fighter. He's had to fight, you know, to get everything he ever got on a football field. So you get that edge, you know, you get that a little bit. But when there's an injury, a season-ending injury, you're like, screw that guy.
You know what? You know what might make it sound even worse?
Yeah.
He does do the third person at the end of it, as evidenced by as pointed out by the 713. I'm worried about Cam Ward as opposed to I'm worried about myself and maybe the development or learning, picking up the offense. All I'm worried about Cam Ward.
Yeah.
So, yes, if that's any indication, make of that what you will when it comes to the Titans, obviously losing Will Levis. Some other things around the NFL injury news. Cardinals first-round pick Walter Nolan III, he's missing the start of training camp with a calf injury that he suffered while training in the offseason. Not too unfamiliar from this or unusual for this circumstance, teams dealing with the level of injuries. The thing that that allows me to get to is I look at the NFC just in general, mm-hmm. with the NFC West and that Cardinals team. That was a team that was interesting that you were looking at. Hey, what could they do? How many teams in the NFC are you really looking at as potential, you know, in the same way that you look at the AFC and there's a number of teams that you go, these are the guys that are, or these are the teams that are at the top of the crop or the cream of the crop. I look at the NFC and I don't really see many of them.
Well, you're right. Eagles, Commanders, Rams. I mean, yeah, you're right. The
Lions.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Lions. I forgot about them. But
and maybe Packers, depending on how you feel about
them. But those are maybes, you know. Those are maybes. And I think that actually opens it up for the NFC. A lot of teams, you know, not just saying that they think they have a chance, they probably do have a chance.
Yeah. Some other things around the NFL. Russell Wilson named named starter for the Giants. Nothing surprising there, right?
Not really. They did draft Jackson Dart, but Russell Wilson came in for that. By the way, Jackson Dart, first ever practice, first ever pass at training camp practice, pick six. So. In terms of 11-on-11, but I still like that kid. I think he's going to be good. But Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, that's one of your guys. I forgot. Your guy.
Yeah, that's my guy.
That's your man that you got out there. Yeah, that was not fun, but, of course, it's training camp like that. I don't think that that's a huge deal. And it was to be expected that Russell Wilson was going to be that guy. I do wonder, do you feel like he gets usurped at any point this season by Jackson Dart, or do you think that this is going to be an entirely a season where Jackson Dart sits, learns, and eventually gets the opportunity to have that job?
What team is it again?
The New York Giants.
So, yes.
Okay, cool.
The Giants, you know, with the pressure they have, the I guess, urgency to win, anything that Russell Wilson does in general is going to be magnified, good or bad, but in New York, even more so.
Yeah.
So I think he will, actually.
I can see it. I can see it. Some other things around the NFL. We got an initial Browns quarterback training report. Mm-hmm. And obviously Shedeur Sanders is a person of interest. Tell me if you kind of understand the thought process here. So day one of training camp yesterday saw a quarterback rotation that was similar to OTAs. Kenny Pickett, first guy when it came to quarterback. Dylan Gabriel, second team. And Shedeur Sanders, third team. No reps for Joe Flacco. How do you read that?
Well, I look more at what the first three than the last one. Flacco, you know, he doesn't need to have any reps at this point. All classroom, maybe a couple little things later in camp or preseason. The Shedeur Sanders things made some headlines, and I think there has to be something with that. As everybody knows, if you don't, you should. You know, these reps or these practices are short. The reps are precious. If you're the third quarterback getting reps, you are behind the eight ball. You know, you are fighting an uphill battle. So I think that stood out to me more than anything, that Shedeur Sanders was third.
Especially because if you want, or if you're in favor of him or rooting for him to eventually take that job, right? Because I think there was a lot of people that, obviously, we know what happened on draft night or in that time period. There was views or thoughts of him being a first-round pick, and he falls all the way to fifth. That disparity, mm-hmm. in order for you to make that up, you got to have the opportunity to actually get out there and throw the football and have opportunities to be impressive. And that is a climb that he has to make. I understand that you can think of it maybe as, all right, the depth chart isn't specifically a climb, but I think you laid
it's
it
reps.
Out pretty nicely.
It's
the reps.
Yeah.
And with whom you're running the reps with as well.
Exactly. Hey, the Browns also released their helmet, new helmet.
They sure did.
Figgy, you saw this.
Yeah, I thought that was a UPS hat for me, man.
Well, yeah, first of all, the helmet itself is not getting good reviews.
Why should it?
Yeah.
Thought it was a good idea is my first question. Yeah. If you're unfamiliar, the Cleveland Browns unveiled a helmet that they will wear at some point this year. It's not going to be their primary helmet, but it's the first time that the Cleveland Browns, aptly named the Cleveland Browns, will actually wear a helmet that is brown. And the brown
Doo-doo brown helmet.
buddy. I don't know what that was, but it is brown, but it has orange, a couple of orange racing stripes down the middle of it. And in launching this, they did so by, well, they were on the lake.
It was on a floating sort of barge.
Yeah, on the lake. Yeah. So they had a giant iteration of the helmet. A seemingly, like, very elderly fan. I don't know exactly what that was. I don't know if she was just, like, you know, the big-time fan they had. Was the mascot on there as well?
The mascot? No, it was a staffer.
A staffer getting a video of it.
Yeah.
Who is trying to get, like, a kind of panoramic or panning shot.
I need another angle.
Yep. Stepped right off the barge into the lake.
And I'm presuming Lake Erie, right, Figgy?
Yeah.
Lake Erie. Which is not warm water, even in this, even at this time of year.
That's what it was. Yeah. It wasn't that there was a mascot for the team. It was a mascot for the sponsor of this helmet unveil, which very aptly, as you said, Doodoo Brown, was Dude Wipes. Like, how do you not see that juxtaposition there?
And
we're going to make fun of you, Cleveland Browns.
And you saw it all over the internet. I mean, it was the most Browns thing ever. Dude was so confidently sort of angling around the helmet. Oh, this will be a good angle. Bloop, right into the drink. Right into Lake Erie. And my favorite part, I don't know if you guys noticed this, the mascot you're talking about didn't even skip a beat. Grabbed a life jacket, threw it at the dude in the water, and then went back to acting a fool. And then he started doing all the little crazy dances and stuff.
I want to ask y'all this because this has kind of been going around a little bit. Do y'all think that's staged?
No.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
It was
going to be my confession, but I've gotten to a point where, like, I am so skeptical
of
so many of these videos that get put out, especially in a corporate capacity. Like, everybody is trying to get something that's viral, and you want something that's organic, but organic stuff doesn't always happen, so then you create the organic. And that one felt like, oh, well, he organically fell off, and we happened to have a drone shot, and, there was a life vest that we threw in. Like, all the things feel like this.
Well, you have to have life jackets on boats.
But see,
it's the law.
Even the Dude Wipes sponsorship, to me, that was kind of all part of it, too.
I don't know. And I'm generally the conspiracy theorist, but give that guy an Oscar, first of all, because he sold it. I mean, it was so smooth.
You know what sold it more? Gravity. That's what sold it, John Lopez. What do you mean he sold it?
I mean, he just like casually was walking, never dropped the camera, never looked out in the side of his eye that we could tell. And then the other thing, the reason I don't buy it, that it was staged, although I'm not saying it wasn't, but I don't buy it. This is the most Browns thing ever. And do they really want to elevate their own silliness by doing something silly like that?
I'm going to use your phrase, Lopez. Just spell the name right.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, so that's happening. One more thing around the NFL. Actually, two more things, because you already know one of the last thing is going to be. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, obviously, they have one of the most interesting portions of camp that's not a camp battle, which is how are they handling the two-way players, cornerback, wide receiver, or wide receiver, cornerback, Travis Hunter. So it seems like they're not taking it easy on him early in camp. They're switching in both sides of football early on in camp. Do you like that? Because it feels like there's one of two minds of thought that you could have about operating like that early in camp.
Yeah, look, if you're going to do it in the season, you better start now. We were just talking about reps, you know, and as a rookie, if you're not getting those reps on either side of the ball, I mean, we all know how risky it is. We all know how unique it is. But if he's going to play on both sides of the ball, he needs to do it right now. He needs to start doing it right now. I applaud them for not taking kid gloves here or whatever. But we'll see how it plays out because it's a big ask.
I mean, one of the things that you talked about, we mentioned it with the Z's, is like after a while, camp is an absolute beating.
Yeah.
And playing both ways is a beating. So playing both ways in camp is a beating. And then the regular season will start. Like,
yes,
I've already
yes.
been of a mind, though. Like, I understand your thought. You've got to get used to it. But also, I don't think that you can take that mileage off once you go, all right, well, now we get into the season.
Yeah.
I think that this might lessen the opportunity that he even makes it to through 17 games doing this both ways.
But this is really the only choice.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah, probably for him to be up to speed on both the offense and the defense.
Yeah.
I just continue to find this fascinating. I'm going to watch that. And, of course, we'll get an opportunity to see that up close and personal with the Texans seeing the Jaguars twice in the season. Of course, the final thing that I'll leave you with at this period of time when it comes to around the NFL, your top 100 player the day, as voted on, obviously, by the players, the NFL, NFL.com, for some reason, releasing the top 100 player a day. Your player today, number 64, drum roll, please, Denver quarterback Bo Nix.
You know what? I'm not gonna just shrug at this one.
Wow, we got him. We got him. Big.
I think there's something here. I think there's something here. I'm not gonna just shrug at this. Bo Nix is gonna be at 64. That's gonna be a really good indicator, because there's no way, or is there? There's no way that C.J. Stroud is not on the list if Bo Nix is on, right?
No, I felt very confident about it. You were the only one, I think, on my show, though, who was not confident about that at this point.
Yeah, based on the fact that he didn't make a lot of top 10 lists and et cetera. But no way Bo Nix is on the list at 64 and C.J. Stroud is not.
We're doing a lot for Bo Nix off of that first season.
We sure are.
I will give him credit. I think he handled that offense incredibly well. He talked about it, I think, yesterday at camp, that he is, you know, he's reached out to Drew Brees and talked to him, which I think that's a very good person if you're running a Sean Payton offense. But and maybe I'm just a hater, it's quite possible. Yeah. I'm still interested in seeing what it looks like for him in year two.
Yes.
And when it comes to how highly I want to rate
Sean Payton had and I know we're kind of up against it, but Sean Payton had a good comment yesterday, and I don't know if you saw it, that a lot of people are saying Bo Nix is in a great situation. He fell into a great situation. He's taking time with Drew Brees and all that. Sean Payton kind of went off. He said, you guys are just doing, or people who say that, are just doing that to justify your pre-draft take that that good.
Correct.
And I think he's right.
Correct. I will not hide from that at all.
No, I think he's right. Yeah. And by the way, shout out to the NFL for finally giving, after 36 picks, something to talk about.
We'll keep that going as we continue to move through training camp and obviously into the 2025 NFL season. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, look, we can't neglect one of the hottest teams. In fact, a team that is tied for the best record in all of the AL, the Houston Astros. So coming up next, it's a good day, I think, to have some Joe Espada appreciation. So let's do that next.